Welcome back, new you maniacs, to the Spinner Rack here at Season 4 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We're your hosts.
Andy with DP7 number 22, as well as
Steven with Universe News. I know it doesn't take for long to say Universe News, but
hey, we got to give you some kind of job. Keep those employment numbers up.
In 1986, the new universe was launched as an imprint for Marvel Comics, dedicated to a more grounded and less fantastic approach to comics and world building. The original idea was the world outside your window, with real-time progress and greater realism. After the first year, some books were canceled, though we are seeing their characters in other places, including tonight. And the remaining books have gotten consistent creative teams, their art origins streamlined, and they are becoming more action-oriented as the new universe becomes increasingly militarized in the wake of the world-shaking disaster, The Pit. Since then, we have seen the U.S. government drafting paranormals and possibly gearing up for a war. With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each comic in the order they hit the spinner rack, or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. We have a Season 4 trivia challenge, which I'm pretty confident is now available on our website, kickersinc.com. And if you'd like to get notices from us about upcoming episodes and new universe-related news, you can follow us on X at Kickers Inc. This week, we get back to that roaming band of do-gooders, DP7. In the wake of the White Event, seven random people with paranormal powers found themselves seeking help at the clinic. Now, in the wake of the pit, can they use their powers to help one another get through boot camp?
Get through this narrative?
I'll just keep adding phrases. You did better than I did last time.
Yeah. This week's issue, DP7 number 22. At last, learn what's happened to all your favorite new universe characters since the pit disaster. The Kickers, Jack Magnaconti, leader of paranormal force, Nightmask, psychologist for the army, plus the return of Bloodhound. Everybody's been clamoring. And DP7.
Everyone's favorite character, Bloodhound?
And DP7's been drafted. Is DP7 ready for the army? More importantly, is the army ready for them? Army Dreamers, written by Mark Gruenwald, penciled by Paul Ryan, and inked by Danny Bulinati.
Darlene Magnaconti?
No, has Ooh. Never been seen again.
Lita Hurls.
Actually, no, she had been seen. That's just... We saw her in the Jack Magnaconti joining the army backup. She got a panel or two to
look that's sad right. or something. Teddy, Keith's sister?
Only in a flashback. But seen more than some characters. So,
well, we will also be discussing some of the bonus features we have this issue. There's some Who's Who stuff and Universe News, and we'll go through all of that with you.
And maps, which are not necessarily the most fun thing to talk about on an audio podcast, but they're fun to look at in a comic book. So DP7 issue 22, this is cover August 1988, so we're sneaking on along towards 1989, though likely hit the rack or the specialty comic stores May 3rd, 1988. Maybe worth a little bit of recap here. So we're just coming off the draft. The draft introduced basically three new paranormal characters who get a little bit of screen time here. Harlan Blowout, who can explosively teleport. Chris with his flying hubcap. And Garth, the sad middle-aged guy who can make tubes out of thin air, showed up in the draft. We got introduced to them, they got drafted or enlisted, and then Blowout threw a series of perhaps relatable events as a PhD student getting his life ruined. Ended up trying to assassinate the president, but failed and escaped. That was kind of the draft in a minute. And then our DP7 characters are kind of all over the place, right? So, like, the clinic got trashed when Bazooka decided to attack a state trooper, and a variety of battles went on. Stephanie's out. The DD teens had left ahead of time, so most of the teen characters are safe and reunited with Stephanie. Our main DP7 characters, a lot of them ended up captured or drafted, right? So we get Jeff Walters, Dave Landers, and Randy O'Brien in this episode. We're not 100% sure if Lenore is dead or alive. Am I missing anybody?
So yeah, all the female characters disappeared after they were captured, and so it's been an issue or two since we know what's happened to Charlie, Lenore, Jenny Swenson, who had
Right.
been tagging along with them, and I feel like I'm missing one. Stephanie, I know, is went back with her
Right.
husband Chuck. I know, yeah, I know. And yeah, the DD, she's with the DD teens, but I have a vague memory of where the female DP7s are, so I'm not, but it would seem weird to me, like it's been, you know, an issue or two, and I'm just focusing on the guys here.
Maybe we'll get that Caged Heat style paranormal women in prison DP7 issue at some point.
Finally, yes. Oh my gosh.
You know, people would read it. The DP7 swimsuit issue. I guess that this is 1988. That was a just pretty 90s thing, I guess. I know Marvel was doing it earlier, I think, actually. So they could have had a new
Remember,
universe one.
yeah, in through the early 90s, like Image Comics and Marvel would have like a summer swimsuit thing to kind of catch in, cash in on that. Probably just the Sports Illustrated thing was already popular at the time.
Right.
Amazing Heroes, one of those sort of semi-pro magazines, would also, I think, also had a couple.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, it's a anyway, back to DP7.
Back to DP7, all wearing lots of clothes on the cover. So yeah, the cover is mostly Dave, Jeff, and Randy and his antibody wearing uniforms, saluting this flag and fireworks in the background. We got the star banner thing, which I think denotes a tie-in to the draft. Steven was lamenting to me before about how, like, they don't connect up or something, like the banners of stars don't, you know, form one
It's
nice image or something.
yeah, they're sort of going in the same direction, so they don't have like a, you can't sort of put them together and form a nice single image. And yeah, these are I mean it was Keith Remsen who was the center on the draft, and then a couple of the DPs were in the sort of the lineup, but here it's not.
Yeah, and that's you know, we have been seeing other characters. So, you know, Keith Remsen has showed up in the draft and elsewhere as a dream psychiatrist with no training, and you know, maybe things hadn't necessarily been going terribly well. Which is
We're now
honestly
like 3 for 3 with Keith Remsen this
right.
month.
He gave psychological passes to the guy who tried to kill the president, the drill sergeant who seems a bit psychotic and maybe ruined the personality of Thomas Boyd and turned him into a killing machine, you know, to be determined. Nice job,
When
Keith.
you, I mean, he's only like 19, so, you know, what did we expect?
He's
They
doing the fake it till you make it plan. Like, yeah, I know a lot about the mind and psychology. Dr. Ballard, he didn't do too much.
congratulations, son. We'll make you a lieutenant. What?
It's got to be a pay raise.
That's true. They did live in Washington, so it's they're all like, oh, is that a G4 with an expense account? I don't know. I don't know, whatever.
Well, I guess one last bit of reminder. In the early days of the pit, the team got separated because Jeff Walters, when learning that Pittsburgh had exploded, raced off to try and save his family who lived in Pittsburgh, and like his mom and dad were visiting there too, to try and save them. And he didn't, because everything was already gone. And that kind of goes to our title splash page here, Army Dreamers, where we're in the pit. And, so fiery, rocky bottom, kind of like what we saw in an early DP7 issue, except there's a big rocket with a skull on it and a whole bunch of people strapped to it, Looney Tunes style, like it's going to blast off with these people on it. And, that's Jeffrey's family apparently. So he's running towards this big giant rocket, with his mom screaming, Jeffrey. So yeah, pretty interesting scenery. Pretty obviously a dream though, because well, they're dead. But basically he starts running towards them, to try and rescue them. He's super fast. As he's running, he starts gaining weight. We saw, I think, in the annual way back when that before he gained his powers, he was, somewhat overweight McDonald's manager, basically. So he's running to the rescue, but then he starts slowing down. He starts growing. He says, "Holy Joe, I'm fat again, just like I was before the speed. Gotta keep running." So his family's kind of yelling for him to save himself. He keeps going, but he's too slow. The nuke goes off, so I don't know why you bother to put it on a rocket. I guess it's better imagery. But the whole thing blows up, winds blast. He says, "I failed, I failed." And then Night Mask shows up in the background. So finally a clue to kind of what's going on. It's like, "I'm very sorry, Walters. I call myself Night Mask. I wander through people's dreams, try to help them make some sense of them. Sometimes with terrible results, but we'll see." But notably, this is Night Mask. It's Keith Night Mask. It's not like the crazy version with the crazy face, doing strange contortions, kind of like a Plastic Man or the Joker. It just seems like normal Keith Remsen. So I guess he's in control at this point. But yeah, so Jeff's like, "What? You're the specter of death coming to take my mom away from me. I won't let you. I won't let her. I'll run into the pits of hell itself." And then he kind of wakes up. So it turns out, Jeff is in the bed with Keith right next to him, doing his quote psychological treatment. But he finally wakes up and recognizes Lieutenant Remsen, our good old buddy Keith Remsen. But yeah, so kind of as before, Keith kind of explains himself. Yeah, it's okay to cry. You can have to let the pain out, get a handle on it. And it's like, "Well, what do you know about it?" And as he's done with most of these paranormals, he's like, "I know what you're feeling. My parents also died into an explosion, back in Night Mask number one, the terrorist, a terroristic dream researcher, the gnome, trying to knock off his competition." But yeah, that was sort of the premise of Night Mask as far as it goes. But Jeff says, "You were there when it happened." It's like, "That's better. It's worse to not know if I could have done anything." Right. So, he didn't see it happen. He didn't know if he could have gotten there sooner or prevented something. But, that's his hang up, I guess. So yeah, we kind of get some more backstory. A little bit of introducing Keith Remsen, I think, more than anything else. But there's an important bit of conversation. He says, "Lieutenant, mind if I ask you a question?" He says, "Go ahead." He's like, "How'd you finally get over what happened?" And Keith says, "By doing what would have made my parents proud, helping others." He's like, "Oh." And he talks about being Night
And
Mask.
continuing their line of dream research.
I guess.
Did your parents have any line of dream research, Jeff? No. Oh, okay. Well, never mind what I said.
I mean, Jeff might know about as much as Keith does, other than the
Could I
paranormal
be a therapist? Sure, why not? Why not all everyone's a therapist now? I don't.
So yeah, so Keith kind of is, thinking to himself then, it's like, helping others by projecting my dream self into their dreams and trying to help them work through their nightmares and hang-ups up close and personal. And as we said, he's kind of, in the draft era without the clinic. He's kind of 0 for 3 here, and it either has not helped or has perhaps actively made things worse by allowing some crazy paranormals. Get a nice little flashback scene of Damballa, the big
Dumbala.
voodoo snake, for no particularly good reason.
I mean, of all the things you could show, that's a pretty good one. It's pretty recognizable and memorable, and but it's if you didn't follow Night Mask, yeah, you'd be like, he was fighting giant snakes? What?
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta punch a snake.
It's like,
Though actually, he became the snake and channeled the spirit of Damballa to fight the. Oh, shoot. What was the chain guy? I don't remember. Anyway.
Tullius, I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah. So,
Oh, the chain beast, yeah.
Chain Beast. That's right. So then Jack Magnaconti shows up. So, like, this is like a special episode. Like, all your favorite friends all in one episode. Like when the Globetrotters join Scooby-Doo and the gang or something.
I mean, it is nice to see Jack and Keith. And we had seen Jenny already. I guess Merc will not be seen, but
No.
for obvious reasons. But yeah, I mean,
They could have
this
brought
is,
back Lincoln Griffin.
yeah, perhaps we're better off this way. No, actually, I mean, increased militarization. I'm if there's anyone you should see walking through the door, it's these like Mercs that we met. But anyway.
Yeah.
It's nice to see them. We kind of missed their supporting cast who were, part of the fun of their books, but yeah, take what we can get at this point.
Yeah. So Keith tells Jack how it's going and basically says, Jeff is the most tormented of the people that we found in the pit, right? So, Randy and Dave and such are, well, I guess, Pitbull's not tormented. He's just crazy, right? He's.
Yeah, I mean, Keith must have like screened him too and been like, yeah, the guy who eats people, yeah, he's fine. Yeah, put him in the army.
Oh, we have
Had
to have
some sort
lots
of
of
electrolyte imbalance when we picked him up, but he's fine now.
them.
Fine.
Yeah. Could use like whatever they use to brush the teeth of elephants or something.
Let's quick mention that they refer to the Night Mask persona getting out of control and like Psi-Force 22. So they've got a like a note going back to that, even though it was just last week.
Yeah.
But it does help sort of place this time-wise, I guess.
Right.
So
Some good planning too, to have that all working together. But yeah, so Keith basically says, Jeff will be okay. I can release him to training camp as long as I can keep working with him. So that'll be a thread through the book. And then yeah, we cut to Jack introducing himself to the rest of the DP. So you got Jeff on the treadmill, presumably Randy working out, and Dave Landers, Mastodon, and Pitbull, these two giant, mountainous, inhumanly large people. We get an actual like height and weight on Dave Landers and the who's who thing in a little bit, just like brute force and some weights. Coexisting together quite nicely, interestingly enough. Maybe Pitbull's not quite as crazy as he was when we first met him. He's more of a troublemaker or something.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah. But yeah, basically, Jack is this kind of commander type, friendly guy, welcome to the army, commend you on your recovery time. Landers is like, so can we go home now? He's like, no. It's boot camp for you guys. The army's looking for good men, and I'm hoping you'll qualify for my elite paranormal force. And then Dave's like, "You really think strange-looking guys like us are gonna fit in at boot camp?" And Pitbull's like, "Listen here, Cap'n Jack Boot. I ain't army material. Take my word for it." Then he bites the bar of the barbells, and then twists the weights up above his head, kind of like a C shape. He's just like showing off, but like Magna Conti's like taking it back a little bit, but it's kind of unfazed. He's like, "On the contrary, I think the army could make a man out of you." And Dave's like, "What? Me in the army? He's got to be kidding. I'm less army material than Pitbull is." It's like, okay.
I'm still kind of at a well, we'll continue, but Dave really doesn't like the army. I don't know if it's just his personality or something, but
Yeah.
there's no obvious reason why he would be not, able to, really do well there, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway.
Doesn't like the killing, maybe.
Oh, come on. Come on.
And next page is kind of like the everybody shows up to Fort Benning on the buses, and it's kind of neat because it's kind of a recreation of the same panel from the pit, which was actually a bit smaller, where everybody's kind of showing up and we could see all the DP7 characters as well. Notably, Paul Ryan and Gruenwald make a little cameo there in the bottom left corner.
That's how I thought. Yeah, the one's got a new universe T-shirt on, maybe, and
Yeah.
they're both, the sort of random people that got pulled in off the street for this. So,
Well, the yeah, because I didn't look too hard, but I didn't find a picture of Paul Ryan in real life, but his image there looks just like the one in his Universe News profile, so
yeah,
it
perfect. Yeah.
fits.
Mostly, I know Gruenwald from that Starbrand 12. So,
One of the four brown hair bearded guys, yes.
should have been our trivia qu challenge is like, name which one of these creators was this guy.
Ah, that would be a good one, yeah. Maybe a special bonus challenge. But yeah, so this maybe it must not have been Randy working out in the back because here they're brought back together.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says, "Jeff, look who it is, Randy." And Bazooka's there. He recognizes Randy from the clinic. We see sort of Harlan, Chris, and Garth from the draft, but not a whole lot going on with them. But yeah, the Randy and Dave reunite. He kind of picks him up, holds him up over his head, like, "Oh, it's good to see you, pal. Where you been last month?" Well, Jeff and I were at the Pitt Hospital. He says, "Well, 2 weeks of that time, and Army intelligence was grilling me to find out what a Wisconsin boy was doing in the restricted area of the pit." But then he gets interrupted by maybe slightly funkier looking version of Sergeant Haldeman, who's we got introduced to in the pit, and he's really kind of crazy, but holds it.
Sergeant Weltschmerz or something. Welch,
Yeah, this is like
he's,
pain and suffering, man.
he can project the pain of a meaningless existence into your head or something.
Right. Talk about crappy powers to have.
Well, I mean, I can do that, but I mean, you have to talk to me for a while, but
Right.
you'll get it eventually.
This involves listening. And then actually we kind of get just re a recreation of the same scene from the draft. So where they line everybody up, they bring out Zentner, Major Zentner Bloodhound, who was one of the, oh, I guess like mercenary paranormals. I guess they were part of the
Hunters, they call them.
original, yeah, the hunters they call them. They were part of like the first clinic group that actually got kind of turned into what, oh shoot, what's his name? Overshadow.
Wait.
Voight. What Voight really wanted to do is to kind of like, manage and control these paranormals. But I guess
Yeah, they were
he can.
Therapy Group A, I guess, and they showed up in, I'll say, issues 2 to 4, something like that. Sorry, go ahead.
I like him as Smellhound personally, but I'm still waiting for Exploding Pimple Man to come back because I thought he was him and was it Vice Versa? Could
Yeah,
like
I don't know
return
the.
things. They had fun powers.
It did. Pimple Popper Man. I have some reason. For some reason, I think he'll at least appear at some point. Probably like someone saying something on the Facebook page or something.
Yeah, I've been trying to dodge that lately just because of spoilers.
New universe spoilers. And
But
yeah,
yeah,
I guess.
so like before, he goes through the line. Bloodhound kind of sniffs everybody, sends one guy packing who doesn't have paranormal powers. Maybe Mark Gruenwald. So he sent again the ambiguousness of bearded guys. And so yeah, so Zentner recognizes Dave, and kind of Dave recognizes him too. He's like, I wonder how he got to be a major, so, which is a good question, honestly. But if they did kind of what they did with Keith Remsen and saying, all right, this guy's got a power we can use right away, sign him up thing.
Yeah, I mean it's certainly possible some of these guys were like reservists or guardsmen or something, even beyond, outside of the White Event and the Black Event. So
True.
a couple of them could have been sort of integrated into the system already. But yeah, it does seem like certainly with Magna Conti, Remsen, and possibly Zentner, they identified them as paranormals and made a good offer to them.
Right. So we get to the shave and a haircut part. Hilariously, sort of like Dave is too big for the barber's chair, so he just kind of like kneels down on the floor. And the trim, I mean, he's got this huge beard, like long mustache, bald on top, like super just distinctive looking, and then like shaved down, he definitely looks weird. He's got a big eyebrow ridge and just, otherwise, just a massive bald man now.
He looks it's sort of a museum recreation of a Neanderthal is how I always think of him.
Yeah,
It's like a
pretty much.
there's like a diorama and it's like Dave trying to start fire,
Except massive, I guess. So yeah, so later from there they go back to the bunks. Again, this is kind of runs parallel to scenes that we saw that focused on the new paranormals from the draft. But in this case we get kind of the thoughts and conversations from the DP7 characters we know a little bit. So yeah, they choose bunks again. Like, Dave's too big. You wouldn't want a room with Jeff because he vibrates, so like it would just rattle the bed. Randy jokes like, "It won't bother me. It'll be like one of those motion massage beds." But Jeff's kind of down. And we know why, of course. He hasn't been the same since his family died in the pit. Bazooka walks in. He's like, "Hey, that's the guy we called Bazooka, Dwight Fry." So good on you, Mastodon, for remembering the guy's full name.
Hey, you guy. I used to see you across the cafeteria all the time, right? That was you, right? I was it again? Help me out here. Yeah, Dave's got it right. Dwight Fry, it's me, Dave Landers. They're like normal people in the new universe. It's always fun.
Yeah. But he asks, like, how did you get here? When did you leave the clinic? And he says, same time everybody else did. Oh, you weren't there. You don't know about the police raid, the killings, how they closed the place down. I was like, what? And so he kind of grabs him, and Dave starts freaking out about Stephanie. He's like, where's Stephanie? She was in a coma. What happened to her? He's like, Beats me. I was too busy looking out for my own butt. My woman Indigo, she was killed in the raid. So I guess that's a confirmation that Indigo
Wow.
is no more. I think it seemed that way, but I don't think we were quite sure last time.
Yeah, I mean, she was, sh we saw her shot, but it wasn't like lying on the ground afterwards or something like that. Interesting. I can't say that Indigo is my favorite character, so
Well, she's a bit of a villain. Not terribly sympathetic either.
yeah, she's you know, yeah, created more problems for the other characters than helped. But yeah, as always, you know, there's a limited number of paranormals, so you know, every one that you they lose is one left. I don't know.
Yeah. Of course, notably, Bazooka is the one who caused that whole problem in the first place by basically just like firing at a cop.
He's got a gun. Boom. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. It's now that you mention it, like the I mean, they're like, oh, you're a paranormal. We'll give you a commission and make you an officer. And then these guys, it's like, oh, we caught you at the pit. It's either, you know, join the army or you'll be in jail for life. And it's like, really? That's the punishment for wandering into the Pittsburgh area? Because yeah, Bazooka shot a cop and started to riot. Same thing. He got the same punishment there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, we all know what would have happened if Mac Browning was in charge at the time. They'd all be dead.
It's,
But
I want you to
anyway.
start shooting, and then if anyone walks out, I will assume they're bulletproof, and then maybe we can use them in the army. Okay, great.
It has started to fill up, not with the pit juice, but with the bodies of the innocents that Mac Browning is sentenced to die. Boy. Well, anyway, Bazooka kind of goes off again because like Randy's freaking out because of he's worried about Stephanie, so he kind of grabs him by the shoulder, and Bazooka's like, I said, let go, and he gives him his he has like hand force blast powers of some vague variety. But he kind of hits Dave in the chest, stuns him a little bit. He's like, you might have been hot spit, a hot spit security guy at the clinic, warm spit, Landers. But here you're just a grunt like me. You keep your hairy hands off me, or I blast them off. You hear? And Landers doesn't really care. He's like, oh, Stephanie, what if she was hurt? I feel so helpless. Pitbull gets a little rib on him. He's like, ah, I see why you kept so much hair on your face. Yuck. He's kind of turned jovial, like this pit bull dude who was just like a crazy killing machine before. But anyway, and then we get a little fun, like background scene of where Harlan Blowout had like accidentally dropped his helmet on Pit Bull's foot, giving him reason to, start being a bully again. That's kind of going on in the background. Dave's freaked out, goes to Randy, kind of yells at him and Jeff, you should have maybe go on this trip to the pit kind of nonsense. I should have stayed. I could have helped Stephanie. Could have helped. And they get interrupted by Sergeant Haldeman yelling, 5 minutes, whoever's late will be scrubbing the latrines. It's time to go do some more lineup and their obstacle course. And again, this is kind of like what we had before. So this is kind of a rehash of the draft. So maybe it's okay to just kind of go through it a little quicker. Got them all lined up again with the drill sergeant yelling. This time they're all in uniform. This is a panel on 14 where Jeff's military uniform is colored just a little bit differently. I don't know if it's the same on your comic. Yeah, it reminds me of those like old school cartoons when you'd watch and you'd see like one piece of the background was colored a little bit differently because they needed like that was the animated piece kind of thing. It wasn't part of the painted background. So as a kid, you could always like something's gonna happen right there.
Yeah, it's a I mean,
It's just a minor coloring mistake, but I thought it was interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I can imagine them sort of doing something because he's like vibrating or something, and it's maybe there's not enough detail to tell, so they want to do something to set them apart. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean,
So, again, this is sort of a rehash. Holdeman and Pitbull start going at it because Pitbull starts kind of smirking and chuckling a little bit. And he's like, as far as I can tell from looking at people, or is the sergeant's like, what makes you think you're so special? And he's like, well, I can tear people in half, chew through rocks, and lift buses, Sarge. He's like, ah, oh, you think you're so tough? Come after me. And then Haldeman uses his despair powers on Pitbull, which actually like cowers him quickly. He's like, please stop, please, for the love of Ma, stop. Haldeman gives him sort of like a kick for good measure, and if I catch any of you using your freakiness to goof off or get in trouble, I'll be waiting. Okay, privates, push up position. I'm gonna whip you mothers and sons into shape. We'll start with 100. 100 push-ups is a lot.
Yeah, this is why I identify even more with Harlan here. I
Yeah.
you just drop me into camp tomorrow and I would be having a str be struggling for a while there. Yeah.
Maybe 100 push-ups in the course of a day would be doable. Yeah.
Yeah,
Couple here and
I
there, a
suppose.
couple
Yeah.
here and there. Oh. But yeah, so we get a nicely drawn version of what we had in the draft. All the paranormals are running. Jeff is fast enough to do the course twice. Harlan, blowout. So again, he when he teleports, the space he leaves behind explodes, and then the farther away he teleports, the bigger the boom, right? So the more he's displaced, the bigger. He can't make it up the climbing wall, but ends up doing his explosive teleport thing in front of Jeff, who had is going back around for his second run. So kind of Jeff sees what's up. And he's like, hey, what was that? That skinny dude's gone, blew himself up, or what? No, wait, he's on the other side of the wall. He must have beamed himself like on Star Trek. I like that part. But yeah, otherwise sort of uneventful, but notable that Jeff saw that happen. And then we cut back to him in the doing the dream thing with Keith again, the same repeating the same dream where he's running after his mom is there yelling, it's too late, Jeffrey, go back, save yourself. And he gets big, fat, slows down, can't catch up, bomb explodes, right? Same
It's like Fat
problem.
Albert there for,
Very much, yeah. Actually, quite a bit bigger this time, maybe even than last time.
yeah.
But he shakes himself out of the dream. Keith is like, man, thinking to himself, I've never seen anyone metabolize the sleeping pills and jerk themselves out of REM sleep so fast. Rapid eye movement sleep, as our editor fills us in on, thankfully. His uniform is colored differently, so there must be something to it, but it doesn't add up.
I mean, part of the point of the colorist is to sort of distinguish people, but in an army, everyone's supposed to be dressed the same. So you're kind of not sure which way to go with that. But yeah, I
But
don't
anyway, it
know.
really doesn't mean anything to the course of the book, as far as I can tell, but it just catches the eye. But yeah, so Jeff's
All
not
right,
feeling.
Jeff, we gave you the light uniform to test you, and you're just the perfect soldier now. It's what?
But
Where's that
here
ever
Keith
been?
Remsen's kind of competent. He's like, I wish I could snap my fingers and make it all better, Walters, but I can't. It's got to come from you. And he's like, well, let's just forget it. I can't help myself. I can't help anyone. I can't do anything but run. And he slams the door.
I do like he's like, he asked him for drugs or something so he doesn't dream anymore. That would help me a heck of a lot more than having you prance around in my dreams wearing tights.
Ouch.
It's like, the zing of the day. Yeah.
He doesn't even know the track record at this point. So anyway, now we go back to days later. Basically, Dave Lander is looking to do the apology tour because he kind of went off and yelled at Randy before. We get like in the fun in the background scene where Pitbull was eating Harlan's math book with salt just to be a jerk and a bully. And that kind of leads to that confrontation between the two. So, like, Harlan has had enough. He's like, "All right, you mindless misanthrope outside. That's the final straw. I've had it with you. We're going to settle this once and for all." And Pitbull doesn't really know what this guy can do. We kind of do. And he's definitely more dangerous than he looks, or at least potentially so.
Hey, Mel, Harlan's name tag there says Fell on it. That's weird.
Is that his last name? Did we get his last name in the other book?
It's Harlan Mook. That is, what's going on?
Found a mistake.
Sometimes they change like the like a character name, like they change their mind from before they go to press, but who knows?
Yeah,
Who
interesting.
knows? Sorry. I was just like, fell? What
Yeah,
fell?
well, that's a good catch. All right, so we get Randy's outside running around, and he's trying to use it to kind of quiet his thoughts. He's like getting the runner's high. Like, it almost makes me feel good enough to not kill himself. So again, I mean, like, he's really down, and starts zipping over to the mess hall as we get back to the conflict from the draft, where Harlan is freaking out. Chris and Garth, the other two paranormals we met in the draft, are there trying to hold him back. And he's like, "He's gonna die, is what he's gonna do. He ate my math papers, ate them for no reason, just to bust my hump." I love the non-swear words in this. Are really, "He's busting my hump." "Spit for brains." That kind of stuff. But yeah, it
Make
doesn't
your
go
hot
well.
spit.
Pitbull's like, "Those papers could have used some salt." Harlan says, "I'm gonna do this. I'm handling this jerk myself." He basically dives at him, arms out, like, Pitbull grabs him, kind of picks him up with one hand. Harlan's freaking out, yelling out he's gonna kill him. And then he teleports. So, it seems like at first he kind of flips away, so we get one panel of him kind of disappearing. Everyone's like, "What?" We get an oh ship coming from Chris, because he knows what's coming, and then the big boom, and the smoking crater left behind. But just as we know, if you read the draft, in fact, Jeff Walters was on his way back and crashed himself into Pitbull in order to save him, because he had seen before what had happened when that guy teleported. And Jeff's, of course, crumpled into a pile. I was like, "Oh, shoulder, I think I dislocated it," because running at speed, you're going to have a lot of force. But that guy is kind of like running into a brick wall. And Pitbull is somewhat thankful. He's like, "Ha, that was a pretty good trick, Crazy Legs. You saved my hide. How about that?" Like, "Wait a minute, how come? Why'd you do that for a creep like me?" Fair question. And Jeff's looking back, "Because I could." So, he helped somebody. He helped the worst person there, but he helped somebody. All
Did you help Harlan? What is it? Okay.
right. Anyway, another night, the
Here's
same
your
dream.
notebooks, Harlan. I saved them for you.
That
Well, thanks.
could have
Thank
tipped
you,
the
Jeff.
scales, right?
Yeah. Anyway.
Reagan wouldn't have had his pants blown off, but we go to another night, the same dream. So again, in the pit, blazing red, his family strapped to a nuke about to go off. He's running towards them. "I'm getting you down from up there. I'm the fastest man in the world. I can." And so I was like, "Jeffrey, it's too late. Go back. Save yourself." He blows up into the fat Jeffrey. He says, "No way. I'm fat again. It doesn't matter. I'm not tripping this time." So he stays up, keeps running, gets thinner. He says, "I am going to run," and is able to jump up to where his mom is. He's like, "Nothing's stopping me this time." He starts pulling at the ropes, kind of holding her Bugs Bunny style to this nuke rocket. He's like, "I made it." But his mom says, "No, Jeffrey. Believe me, we all appreciate what you're trying to do, but it just is not meant to be. This is where your brother, sister, and I go to our final reward. I know it's hard, but you have to let us. You have to stop coming back here for us." She's like, I can't help myself. She says, yes, you can. All you must do is forgive yourself, even as God has forgiven you. Says, but Mama, I don't want to leave you. I don't want to live without you. Says, you must, or we will have died for nothing. So, Mama, it's like, and of course, flames all around them. You're in the pit. The bomb's about to go off. He's like, go run faster than any man has run before. Make us proud of you. So I love you, Mama. I love you too, son. I will forever, but go before it's too late. So he gets to wave goodbye to his family and his dream, and run, thinking to himself, faster than any man has run before. And here we get the explosion in the background with Jeff running away this time, and the end. So 1 for 4 is Keith Remsen in Night Mask. He has given good advice. He maybe didn't help out so much in the dream, but maybe guided things just enough to have made a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, wow. It's we don't see Night Mask hanging out in the corner there, so we'll assume
No.
that Jeff is back on his own.
Would be a good spot for that little, of course, it's a dream bubble or something, from the cover of Starbrand.
Oh, wow. This is a real interesting issue. Sort of like structurally, we were like, I mean, it's one thing to be like, would this take place before or after the draft? But it takes place during the draft
Yeah.
or vice versa, which
Real
is weird.
time.
We see things kind of from a different point of view. If you were like, why didn't Dave Landers help out these guys, new guys? Well, he was all freaked out about Stephanie or something, and feeling sorry for himself. Jeff's depressed and
Right.
Randy's kind of oblivious, I guess. I don't know. That's the first way to say it. I mean, those new guys who we didn't really get a big handle on, no matter how much screen time they got in the draft, they just sort of exist here. You don't, they're
Yeah.
like,
Yeah, there's definitely nothing is added to their character. It's just kind of, I'm assuming, based on the end of the draft, that Blowout will become important as he's still alive and tried to kill the president. And we got that sort of long narrative from him at the end of that draft comic, but.
Here it just cuts out after after his attack on Pitbull, and according to the draft, he didn't run, just run away at that time, but they put him in the hole. Was it the hole? Yeah.
Yeah.
And after a few hours there, he freaked out and left, and that's when all the subsequent assassination attempt, failure on many levels here, so don't we shouldn't just criticize Keith for being a failure. I don't know. It's like Pitbull is the most character development, I guess, because he kind
You
of
thought they were
moves
going to try
from.
and reform him, so maybe.
I was like kind of joking that he was going to be the like, well, you said Sabretooth, so yeah,
Yeah.
Saber, yeah, but like the edgy, crazy guy, and yeah, they do actually seem to be moving in that direction. I only sort of remembered him as from like his first appearance or something. So,
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, so overall, I gotta say though, this I found this issue really touching. The Jeff's internal dilemma is, I mean, it's not something we can all specifically relate to, but there's something about the like not being there when someone needed us or something. That's a
Yeah.
really, I mean, there's no lower feeling in the world. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you pass by someone and you come back later and they've If they were like hit by a car or something, you'd be like, oh my, I could have. But it's beyond that though, because it's also kind of like it's a story that's really perfect for superheroes who, like, I've got a special power. I can do this thing no one else can. And so for one of them to be like, my whole family just died and I couldn't do anything and I can't bring them back and blah, 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 is like, you really feel that sort of, frustration and despair from him.
That's a good point because, and it's perfect for these characters too, because they're so new, right? Because they try and do that story with established superheroes. Like, that's kind of like a Superman story. Like, Superman is sad because he couldn't save somebody because he also was doing something else or whatever, But, with Superman, you're kind of already so boxed in by old continuity and all these other things that have happened and, all of his amazing powers kind of stuff. Like, it's hard to feel for Superman. It's hard to write that story, whereas, somebody
Like,
who was
why you have all the power? Go ahead, bring back Krypton because you've done everything else. That's the thing that you,
It works better with a more grounded character and universe and, in a world where you can actually die and not have a good chance of coming back or having, pulling a different version of you from another dimension or any of that crap. So.
We haven't seen anyone pop back out of the grave so far in the new universe, and I'm not, well, except for Key, Ken Connell, but whatever. I'm not sure that counts.
I don't think that counts.
So yeah, the Keith's attempts to help him, but obviously, but it's the then giving him a chance to do something, in the real world where he really can help someone. I mean, and that sort of being his breakthrough moment, even if it's the worst person at Fort Benning, he is like, well, second worst. I don't know. I didn't really think Harlan was, that bad until he went to kill the president, but that's just, I mean, perhaps my grad student, like, camaraderie speaking, but
I don't think he's bad. Like, he's just like pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, right? Like, so, like.
So yeah, that I mean, I found his Jeff's sort of final resolution dream really poignant. He's just, he's trying to save them. He's gets past me. No, I'm gonna get through it. And he's, back. He's pushing through. He gets to them. They sort of have their moment together, and he's like, yeah, okay, I guess it's, time to move on. That's, ouch. So it feels real, real. The feels are real there, so
Feels be
love this.
reals. Yeah, I would give it bonus fan points too, just for bringing together the DP7 extended cast, right? Because like Pitbull's not part of the crew originally, or Bazooka. So we got a bunch of DP7 characters. We got Nightmask, we got Jack Magnaconte. We've got a
The
good
old homie
squad,
carry,
right? So,
the what
if
it
they had
be
managed
the
to squeeze in some sort of woman officer flirting with Randy, or they're just through the roof.
yeah. I mean, looking at this, you can really, it's almost like if D if none no book but DP7 had continued, you would have had a pretty good, still a good, like, full view of the new universe.
Yeah,
Because
not
it's
so much a
so like
universe, I guess, at that rate, but it would have been
it's,
something.
yeah, it's a masterful work here.
Rating?
A solid A for me.
Solid A, okay.
I
I
love
was
that.
thinking originally A minus, and I'm not gonna let you up, not gonna let you upsell me with that nice narrative. I'm just gonna keep it as A minus.
Okay.
Which is, yeah, it's great. It's always kind of like, you get a weird issue here and there, then it's nice to have something bring you back. I'm like, all right, yeah, I very much look forward to reading the next one, because next issue is DP7 versus Psi-Force, so
What?
even more characters all thrown together. So
22, characters per panel here.
yeah, and we'll get to see, because like the cover's got Thomas Boyd, who's of course been drafted, and then Wayne and Tyrone were kind of coming to rescue them. Tyrone, the strongest paranormal there ever was. See what he can do against these two beefy, pit bull mastodon. You got Wayne Tucker, who can mind control people, but maybe Dave Landers is still immune to that.
Oh yeah.
Thanks to
Probably.
the, what was it called?
Yes,
BS people.
people.
So that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah. It looks like we'll be spending more time in the boot camp. That was Psi-Force and DP7 next month, I guess. This will be a full month-long crossover.
My
Nice.
prediction is they make enough of a scrap that Dave Landers takes that as a way to escape to try and go find Stephanie.
Mr. One Track Mind, Mastodon.
Stephanie.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I forget if it was like the previews for or the blurbs for next issue, but like, does Thomas want to be rescued? Maybe if it's I mean, he wasn't in this issue or the draft, so we haven't sort of seen him integrating into the Fort Benning situations. He was going on with that. So that alone, I'm not sure where the story's going to take us from there. So
Yeah, we'll find out.
we'll find
Possibly quite
out.
soon. Some of that might play out in the next Psi-Force as well, so. But yeah, speaking of Dave Landers, you got the big old who's who page of Mastodon.
Yeah.
David Allen Landers, employee of the Waupaca Cheese Factory. He's a cheesemonger.
Yeah, I don't know. Mystery Science Theater was always talking about how they used to work at a cheese factory. I couldn't tell if it was just a mid Wisconsin slash Minnesota joke or everyone there does work in a cheese factory. I don't know.
I'm guessing they all live work in a cheese factory.
Yeah, so he has also lost his family in the re recent past.
Yep.
He is high school class of 70. Well, years have gone by. He
Yeah.
was raised Lutheran, now atheist.
The Lutherans will
Interesting.
do that to you.
Interesting.
I'm just saying that. I
Interesting.
honestly don't know anything. Sorry, Lutherans.
The whatever man of the cloth we met in one of the first issues was Episcopalian, I think. So
Yeah, you definitely don't
but
want to mess with them.
Dave had said that he wasn't into religion anymore, but it's let's see, it gives his I gotta go find his old what they rated as his height and weight before.
6'11", 525, can bench press 15 tons, and like a car is 2 tons, so that's ridiculously a lot.
Wow. Okay. You can exert at peak levels for 2 hours before fatigue. Wow.
Dang, without performance enhancers or male pills or anything, 2 hours.
Interesting. Rapid hair growth.
Good driver.
Good driver and a marksman. Okay.
Although that was funny. He likes pinball too, so.
So let's see. He then we have the map of Paranormal Training Annex, Fort Benning, Georgia, and we've got like a hospital, some sort of standard army stuff. There's a small airstrip, helicopters, the obstacle course we saw, drill grounds, barracks, the black hole they mentioned before. I saw all the sort of things that it's like a couple of security gates. Yeah, there's like guard towers everywhere, and it talks in the description about how charged up everything is.
There's like a zillion different infrared lasers and detection systems and that kind of stuff. Funny enough, if you look up Fort Benning, which is what we mentioned it last time, it's like Fort Harold or something now. It's like right on the Georgia border, but it's pretty big now and has a Dunkin' Donuts in it.
Oh, nice.
So it's
Yeah, it's.
upgraded since 1988.
Well, I mean, they call it the annex. So I wasn't sure if this was like, an
A chunk of it.
expansion of the main sort of army base that they maybe have now. But I don't know, like, what kind of how easy it would have been to get the, maps of an army base in 1988. You know what I mean? Like, why do you
You're
want
asking a
that?
lot of questions there, Mr. Gruenwald. A lot of
So
questions.
it's a so yeah, this they say is a secluded, isolated camp around a hospital. So we'll see. Yeah, maybe this will just be like a new clinic, maybe it'll be destroyed, I don't know.
Yeah, it could all blow up.
It's cool. Yeah, if you were like you were to set up your own little RPG where you're all acting out combat from the new universe. I think we get will this would help you set up the stage for that. We get a entry of Paranormale. There's a very complimentary letters mostly. One that was asking that Squirm not be killed. And he wasn't, so thanks. Yeah, one
Says you're in luck. Old Squirm was harder to kill than Free Fall and Tangler thought. And Stephanie's out of her coma. DPs are out of the clinic. I like the part where the editor response is talking about, how many paranormals there might be. So because someone had complained of like stop making so many new paranormals. Just get to know the existing ones. It's like U.S. population approximately 225 million and I think they started initially saying like one in a million and then two in a million, which would be about 450 United States paranormals. But then, said out of those 450, at least half have minimal or useless parabilities. Hey, Mark, what are some useless powers you haven't used yet? Lowering the room temperature 2 degrees. The ability to sense the exact calorie count of any food from 10 feet away, making your nose glow blue. Which one would you pick?
The calorie count might help me, I don't know, but
I was thinking lower the room 2 degrees. Like, there's got to be like some unthought of interesting advantage there, right? I mean, besides just being a little bit cooler in the summer, like that's some weird playing with thermodynamics there.
it's a I feel like I they're right. There's probably a lot of parabilities that would not have not only not a combat use, but not really a use that you could spin a story out of.
Right. Like the little girl that could mostly just make a rain cloud over her own head.
it's nice, honey. Why don't you go outside and play with that? So, I mean, as they say, they've only shown about 30 in DP7 so far, which does seem like a lot, but
Yeah.
you got still some room there.
Funny,
And
at the end of the mail, it says coming soon, the draft.
yeah, this is another reason it was so annoying, like trying to, is the draft come before this or after this? And it takes place during this, and yet they're still like coming soon. What? Come on, guys. I don't know what's going on. Someone asked about Tracy Speck. She is still dead. Yes.
Still dead.
As we said last time, The ad for they'll need to endure the draft to survive the war. The draft from Marvel, the war coming this summer. Yeah, I mean we're a long ways away from it now, but I'll be looking forward to seeing how, you know, mentally, like comparing if the war was originally meant to be contemporaneous with, you know, just a few months later rather than like a year later,
Yeah.
might change how we feel about it, or at least, you know, give us a little more perspective on it.
Right. And you could certainly do a war, right? You know, so like if this had happened in the Afghanistan, Russia time frame, and Russians start bringing paranormals to Afghanistan, which I think we actually kind of saw was maybe kind of sort of happening. If there was like a US response to that and like just like a smaller war, it doesn't have to be World War III plus paranormals. It could just be a conflict.
Right. Yeah, the scene in Psi-Force a couple issues ago where Rudstvo was in Afghanistan attacking our noble freedom fighters. Yeah, really kind of put a different also a different spin on the draft and this like post-Pitt response, since, you know, without it we're just like, why did they assume this? But if Rudstvo is actually doing it on camera, well, that's slightly different. So
Yeah. And interesting too, because like in a modern war, you know, these paranormals that as we've met right now, like they're not like game changers per se, right? It's not like Rostov who can just show up, blow up whatever he wants, is, you know, at this point seemingly invincible. You know, Dave Landers is just a big dude, right? Like he'd be a big target. There's guns, there's missiles, like tracking, like, you know, he's not just going to march in like the gladiator from Starbrand and just be indestructible. And I,
Right.
while a lot of these paranormals could have some serious advantages over a normal person in a big conflict, I mean, it's not like Green Lantern showing up with a force bubble, shooting beams and making bulldozers and can just take out an army, right? It's just, you know.
Yeah, this is all like strategy and tactics. There's a whole nother level to that kind of mass conflict that, yeah, like one, I don't, let's call it, yeah, like a strike force or something, or
Right.
SEAL Team Six, whatever. You can do some stuff, but you're, yeah, once you get kind of in the a million guys versus a million guys, yeah. Couple of
Well,
guys being
superhero
super
movies have taught
special.
me that what you do is you get all of your guys on one side and all the other guys on the other side, and they just run at each other, usually with handheld weapons. And
Perfect. Perfect.
that's the only superhero war strategy in existence.
Nice. So, on sale this month, we see we've still got Justice to get to, and he's fighting a giant monster. I don't know. Anyway,
Yep. Maybe his
Universe
daughter.
News. We've got, oh, what should we do? The official timeline of the new universe goes from July 24th, 86. No, just that day. We've got Jack Magnacondy out for a run in Central Park, and he notices his speed and strength are enhanced. Stassi Inushin has been noticed to have be displaying extra powers by her captors, we'll call them, at the Siberian Project. Wayne Tucker's powers come online when he's talking to a cop. Keith Remsen is told by Lucian Ballad about sort of exploring his own dream powers from Night Mask number one. And do sort of we didn't see before, but we know it happened. Voight, the leader of the clinic, meets his former student Dexter Charn at the sanitarium in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Okay. Where he proceeds to take over and change the name to the clinic. Proudhawk finds Tyrone Jessup and telepathically commands him to leave his home and go to San Francisco. After Proudhawk's influence, Jessup begins hitchhiking west. Proudhawk then leaves to pursue Wayne Tucker in Chicago. Quite a guy there, Proudhawk. All right, just start hitchhiking across the country. Catch up with you. A couple of interesting notes from the editors here. The first is actually a very good question. The white event has come and gone. The black event is still sending shockwaves, and the draft is in full swing, with a top secret paranormal fighting force being assembled. There's a pending war in the Middle East. Maybe that's all it was. Okay. And there's worldwide ecological disasters caused by the pit and the volcano developing there, which we've gotten a hint of, but interesting, huh?
Yeah, it's sort of new information.
Question we have to you, our loyal Nuke and New readers, is this: when does the new universe stop being new? If the world outside your window is no longer the same world, then it can no longer be new, it just is. If this argument is valid, I am not a lawyer, then is it time for us to rename the new universe? A bunch of us new unifiles, I think he means new eumaniacs, were sitting around the bullpen talking over this very subject and came up with a few ideas. We had the null universe, the known universe, the true universe, the Gru universe, shut up, Grunwald, but then began to bog down. Finally, someone came up with a semi-reasonable idea we'd like to get your opinion of. What do you think of the now universe? Think about it, won't you?
You've skipped over the best part. It says, after you're done thinking about it, write to us and let us know if you think the idea is nukin or the pits, which I think should be our new comic rating system.
Perfect.
Gotcha. Oh, the new universe or the now universe? Is that the choices we've been given? Or any something new entirely? A different meat?
I don't know. I'll have to look in my notes for the. I know in the first few months I had a similar idea of like, if you were to, let's say, have a fan fiction new universe, like what would you call it? And so I had like a bunch of names like this.
Let's see. It was all started because of the white event, so we can call it the white universe. I can't see any problems with that. Nobody would complain,
Perfect.
right?
That's just what I'm looking for. We have a, I mean, it's a valid point that the, it sort of starts off, and to distinguish it from the Marvel universe, they call it the new universe. But is it eternally new? How can
Yeah.
anything be like?
The DC version of like our world was like the prime or something like that. I don't know. There's a lot of
Oh yeah, DC had like really gone through
Earth Prime.
everything. It was New Earth. There was, yeah, Earth Zero,
I think
Prime
now
Earth.
makes a little bit of sense because, since you're trying to be sort of chronological, right? It's 1988 here, so and it's 1988 for the reader as well. Though obviously, yeah, like the pit and paranormals is a huge divergence. So, if this new universe lasts for 15 years, the 15 years later universe is probably going to be developed a lot differently than ours. My gut would be, and to just never change it though, right? Like it's just marketing mess, right? If you have the new universe encompassing all these books, then you try and change it to something else. Someone just simply looking on it from afar is not going to know these two are the same things.
Yeah, from a sales point of view, Well, they're always complaining about the sales, so I'm not sure that's
Yeah.
a good selling point.
Right.
Ooh, is this new? I mean, not the new universe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a new universe? All right.
Yeah. But it's like the old, like, you can't call something like the modern era of comics because eventually it's not going to be anymore kind of thing. But I think
Yeah, it's kind of how
you're
like
stuck.
postmodern is a term, except like modernity is 50 years old now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I suggested pre-futurist, but no one took me up on that. So what do I know? Yeah, I kind of like it. I mean, it would work for our purposes, sort of. I can never find my notes now. I think one was the GNU universe, like for those who are like Unix or Linux based. Never mind.
Nobody
It's
nobody
like,
will understand it.
yes, exactly. That's what I wanted.
So
That's
you
what
take a
I.
tiny fraction of the population that reads comics, an even tinier fraction of the population that reads the new universe, and then limit that fraction to that group that knows what Linux and Unix are. It's like
I mean, if I
three
was
dudes.
on the what was that nerd show? Anyway. Yeah,
That
anyway.
one's that idea is the pits.
I'm willing to entertain the new universe. I think N just NU, like new metal. That was a thought.
Also the pits.
Man, okay, well, your turn
Ooh.
then. Ooh, urns. I will say.
Yeah, maybe paranormal universe, you know, could kind of make sense. There was also that kind of bit at the end, which was interesting, where they're asking people to suggest cities or locations for the new universe to go to. Also asking you to send like reference books.
Yeah, this is the thing. They make the point that it's the new universe has been more, outside the one or two major cities that, most comic books cover. But then they just blew that one up.
Right. Yeah, Pittsburgh, greater Wisconsin area, San Francisco, a little bit of Seattle,
I mean, so yeah, we discussed a little that like
New
these
York and
are
Pennsylvania.
some, it's good to, I mean, I don't know, the comic books always end up in New York City, which feels lazy from a bunch of creators living in New York City, but I would be happy to read, sort of a West Coast based,
Yeah.
and anyway, they solicit this information, which I can only also be imagine is because of the difficulty to getting reference and sort of local color if you're not actually living in one of these places. Anyway,
Right.
so
Can't just go to the Chamber of Commerce website.
and yeah, go through every like Google Street View in that corner. It's a It's nice that they sort of want to continue that angle, but they've been talking about, sending more people to New York. So I don't know. We'll
I
have to
just want
see
to
where
find
this
out
goes.
more names of the, the New York Smashers competitor football teams, right? I want more of those little nuggets. So if we can get to one of the other cities and see what their team name is.
We can only hope Jack doesn't give up the football career entirely. I mean, his interest in football or something. Captain Magna Conti, the enemy soldiers are approaching. Should we attack? Shh, shh. We're third down and two, five to go. Come on.
Yeah.
This couch potato, Jack. It's a, little late for us, but I guess we'll see if we do get some like new, bases of operation. I would be down for that. Chicago. I mean, come on. Yeah, it's amazing to me that like comic books don't take more advantage of other locations like that. It's always they're like the guy pushing the boulder up the hill whenever they're like, oh, we'll have a new headquarters in this in Europe now. Isn't that pretty edgy for the Justice League? And you're like, Paris? Yeah, okay.
Nobody wants to go to St. Louis.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I don't know. Top, I mean, it the like visual interest of having a lot of skyscrapers is understandable. From like as like drawing comic book perspective.
Right. Spider-Man would struggle a little bit in Nebraska.
Very much so. But yeah, other, cities do have cool things to look at. So let's hope we get more of that and less of this like volcano going off. I'm not quite sure where that's going.
Yeah, I'm guessing we're getting more volcano.
Anyway, so let's see. We will save the last bit of the new universe news for next time. That is it for this week's episode. After the draft, the new universe finally modified their release schedules to come out at a 1 out a week pace instead of just doing it at the same schedule as the original production. So, to follow along, we'll be covering the issue released next week. Next time, the new now universe checks in on our paranormal killer slash absentee father, Justice number 22.
Justice goes berserk. He believes that he's being attacked by Darkwill and the forces of winter. Trouble is, the attack is all in his mind. But try and tell him that before he fries you. Written by Peter David.
All right. You can still find out more about us at kickersinc.com. And you can always email us at newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new now universe, and we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
Becoming fat again. Not fair. Not fair. Feel so lightheaded.
I'm fat again, just like I was before I got the speed. Wait, what?
Speed makes you thin? I don't know. The fat universe. Oh, that'll get us canceled faster than white universe. Signing off.